Thank you.
So clearly the youngest participant excited the most lively discussion. Good. So our next speaker is David Krejcinic from Bratislava, also from Jürgen Weissenbrot, and he will be talking about twisting versus bending. So let's twist.
Yes, let's twist. Okay, so thank you. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for the invitation to give a talk here. It was a very interesting conference. And as usual, I will start with the usual disclaimer. My talk will have nothing to do with graph models. But it will be about mesoscopic systems, waveguides, and nanostructures. Okay, but this is usual. So it will be about twisting and about bending in quantum waveguides. And it is basically based on these two papers. The first one has been published in Differential Geometry and Applications something like 2 years ago. It is a collaboration with Chenot, Duclos, and Freitas. And this paper is about bending. And then there is a much more recent paper which has been accepted recently in Archive of Rational Mechanics and Analysis. And it is a collaboration with Thomas Ekholm and Hinek Kovařík. Well, in the beginning I was rather unhappy that my talk is the last one. But it also has some advantages. And namely, I can refer to the previous talks. And I will start with the first one, with the talk of Yossi Avron. If you remember, he was saying that when he is preparing his talks, he always tries to look in Google to find some interesting picture. So I try to do the same during this week, and I will show you what I found. So this is what I found when I was looking for twisting. and also other interesting things, for example, Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens, etc., etc. But okay, so let's speak about science. So this is the model I would like to study during the talk. It is very simple, in some sense, because my Hamiltonian it is just a one particle Hamiltonian which lives in a twisted and bent tube. So this is the tube denoted by omega during my talk. And it is twisted and bent. So I will precise it in a moment, but heuristically you can consider as a twist, and this you can consider as bending. And well, as for the operator, so this is as I said, one particle Hamiltonian. So it is just the Laplacian in the Hilbert space L to omega, and I consider Dirichlet boundary conditions. Okay, this constant I will neglect in the following, but I think it is important to point out this effective mass here, which refers to the fact that this is some sort of model for quantum waveguides. And this is, in fact, a mathematical model which comes back to the pioneering work of Exner and Sheba in 1989. And, this curved tube, say, so it is somehow remarkably successful model to explain some phenomena in quantum waveguides which are measured. In particular, one of those phenomena is the existence of geometrically induced bound states due to curvature, due to bending. So this is known for, well, I don't know, almost 20 years. But surprisingly, the effect of twisting has been overlooked during those 20 years. And this is the main subject of the talk, to say that there is an effect of twisting, and this is what is interesting. It is quite opposite to the effect of bending. So what I would like to do I'm not going to discuss physical details, because I think this is after this week, this is clear to everybody that this might be a model, and it is in fact a model for certain mesoscopic systems called quantum waveguides. But what I would like to discuss it is the interplay between a spectrum of this operator and the geometry. So this is my interest. And I will precise the model in a moment, but I would like to point out some characteristics which are characteristic for the model. So first of all, my tube is unbounded. So you can look at it as a globally one-dimensional system, or quasi one-dimensional if you want, but locally it is always three-dimensional. And this morning we were said that we should start and finish in three dimensions. So this is a tube embedded in a three-dimensional space. And I will always assume that the deformation, twisting, and bending, that they are local deformations. This is quite important. I will explain it. And also an important characteristic is that the cross-section of the tube is uniform. It is constant. So this is very important. Okay, so just quickly some plan for the talk. So in a moment I will start with the geometry of a twisted and bent tube. Then I will introduce the strategy we use to study the problem. I will locate the essential spectrum. So it is an unbounded model, so we have a continuous or essential spectrum. I will briefly mention the effect of bending, which is known, but I will concentrate on the effect of twisting, which is, I would say, my main contribution to the problem. And I will finish by conclusions by mentioning some open problems or extensions. So, well, as for the geometry, the idea to construct the tube, it is to take a two-dimensional cross-section, take a curve in three dimensions, and to somehow transport the cross-section along the curve and to rotate it somehow. And to make it more precise, I will have to mention some geometry, but not too much. So first of all, gamma, it is this curve in R3. I assume that it is parameterized by arc length. I denote by kappa its curvature, and by tau I denote its torsion. I make an assumption that the curve possesses an appropriate smooth Frenet frame. The Frenet frame, it is just the triad of the tangent, normal, and binormal vectors. This is rather a technical hypothesis, but basically it means that we have the Serre-Frenet formulae for the derivative of the Frenet frame, which is like this. This is something standard. So this is the curve. This is the skeleton, or this is the graph. You can think about it as about the graph. And now I construct the fat graph by taking a cross section, so it will be an open connected bounded set. Notice that I don't assume any regularity condition about omega, and I introduce some auxiliary quantity related to omega, which is related to the half diameter of omega. Then I introduce some rotation matrices in R2. So this is well, I can parameterize the matrices in this in such a way. Here theta it will be some smooth real valued function. So this is some rotation angle function. And okay, having these preliminaries, I defined the tube as an image of a straight tube via some mapping L, which is here. And this is exactly the formula which I described by on the picture, in fact. So here we take the curve. Here this is some parameterization of the cross section, and we rotate it according to some general moving frame along the curve. So these are some transfers vectors orthogonal to the curve, and they are obtained just by rotating in an arbitrary way the Frenet frame. So the Frenet frame, it is just some technical frame we use to construct the tube, but this is the general frame we use. So this is a general definition. I think it's clear. And as usual.
So T is now a point in omega, right?
Yes, yes, this is important. So S, it will be the longitudinal variable on the curve, and T, it is, okay, I use some strange notation that it is T2, T3 in omega. Thanks. And, well, I assume that omega, that the tube is not self-intersecting, which is just the usual condition in order to have a tube. Well, that it has, that it is embedded. But this is also technical. In fact, we can also, if we don't insist on the embedding, we can also consider this tube in an abstract way. The results also hold then. Okay.
What is K1? I see.
Where is K1?
No, and the bottom.
Ah, okay, so it happens. So K1, it is K.
It's K.
So if you see K1, it is K, and if you see K2, it is tau. Okay, so we have Frenet formulae, but they do not reflect the geometry of our system, because in our system, the tube is constructed via this general moving frame. So we should look how this moving frame moves. And this is just a straightforward calculation using the Frenet Serre formulae. So you will get this general formula. So E1, it is always the tangent vector. And E2, E3, these are some general orthogonal vectors to the curve, from the normal space to the curve. Okay, so and looking at this, well, somehow you can identify that these parts are responsible for curvature, for bending, and these parts are responsible for twisting. I will precise it now. So what I call by bending, this is something I think you will accept without problems. It is that the curvature is not identically equal to zero. So this is my definition. Now for twisting, as I said, I will define it in this way. And in fact, they can be regarded as two independent deformations of the tube. So I will say that the tube is twisted if this difference, which can be called somehow generalized torsion or the torsion of this general moving frame, is not identically equal to zero. And of course, the twisting makes sense only if omega is not rotationally symmetric. What I will call that it's not circular. It's either not rotationally symmetric, or the center of rotation is not in this center of symmetry, say. And now, okay, bending, I think this is completely clear. Twisting, it is clear if the reference line is straight, so you just twist, you just rotate the cross section. But I think I don't know. I think it's not completely clear what the twisting means in general. If the curve is not planar in the space, if it is in a general curve. So, for this reason, I would like to mention some equivalent definitions of twisting, which I think will be instructive for you. And I will proceed by negation in the sense that, okay, so a tube of non-circular cross-section is not twisted if the moving frame is chosen in this special way. So this is just the negation of this requirement. And if it is chosen in this special way, then physicists will know that there exists a term for it, and this special frame is called a tank frame. So what you have to do, you have a torsion, the curve is given, and you have to integrate the torsion to get some special angle function, which is unique up to initial conditions. So this is just the definition I was mentioning in a previous slide. But now I would like to point out that this is somehow related to the parallel transport, that the cross section is somehow transported parallelly along the curve. Of course, okay, we are in the flat three-dimensional space. But okay, so what I mean by the parallel transport? Now, forget about the cross section. Take just the one of the normal vectors and translate it according to some angle theta. So in this way, you will get some two-dimensional surface. Such a surface is called a ruled surface because it's generated by straight lines. So it is a surface in R3. It has some normal vector. And now if this normal vector is transported parallelly along these generators, then this is exactly equivalent to the condition that this theta is chosen in this special way. So here certainly this is not the case.
It's if people know the Berry phase, it's exactly the same. It's a natural connection on the normal bundle. So because it's a sub-bundle of the trivial bundle, there is a natural connection, which is known as the Berry phase.
Perfect. So we have another equivalent condition. Thank you.
Will you have any problems with the square cross section?
No. The square cross section
could be then or vertical or horizontal, and then when you bend it, it would be any tunneling between the modes?
I'm not sure I understand. Okay, first of all, this angle theta, it is smooth. So it's smoothly transported along the curve. And I don't know. There is no problem. So we have a ruled surface constructed by one of the normal vectors. And there exists, in differential geometry, there exists a general theorem by Massey. I don't know how to pronounce it. And this theorem tells us that this ruled surface, or in general, a surface is developable, the transport is parallel in this case, if and only if the curvature of the surface is zero. So this is also somehow related to some curvature, the intrinsic curvature of the surface, the Gauss curvature, if you want, is equal to zero. And finally, for physicists, we can also say this can be checked that if we look at this normal vector transported along the curve as on some traveler which is non-inertial if the curve is curved, then in fact this non-twisting, it is equivalent to the fact that the Coriolis acceleration, Coriolis force, is absent. But okay, so I, just to give you some ideas what the twisting is. So I hope now it's clear. So let's go to the analysis. So my object of interest is the Laplacian with Dirichlet boundary conditions in omega. It is defined in the standard way by means of its quadratic form, which is with this domain. And so this is the action of the quadratic form. This is standard. So that's why I don't need any regularity conditions about omega, because I will always work with quadratic forms. And now here comes the main strategy, which is obvious. Okay, so I have this mapping L, which is a diffeomorphism, in fact, between the straight tube and my curved tube omega, which is twisted and bent. It was just this mapping which describes rigorously what I showed you on the picture. So at this mapping, you can also look alternatively that you can identify this curved tube with the straight tube, but with some non-trivial metric G, which is induced by this diffeomorphism. And now, using the formula for the motion of the moving frame, you easily find that the metric has this this form, where H is in fact the Jacobian of the transformation. It depends on curvature and the angle theta, and H3, they depend just on this generalized torsion, say. It's okay. And okay, using this diffeomorphism or this identification, if you want, I will look at my tube as some Riemannian manifold with some non-trivial metric, and then the Laplacian is unitarily equivalent to this Laplace-Beltrami operator. Again, considering in the sense of quadratic forms, that's why I write W here in a weak sense. And the Hilbert space, now it's the Hilbert space of the straight tube with this volume element. Here, this is standard notation for the determinant, and this is notation for the coefficients of the inverse. This is standard. And okay, this is just some, in my opinion, some useful formalism to look at it from this differential geometrical point of view. But basically, it is nothing else than passing to some curvilinear coordinates on the tube. It's very elementary, in fact, but I like this approach, which is somehow useful in the calculations. Okay, so this is the Hamiltonian, and now very quickly I will just say how we locate the essential spectrum. First of all, a small remark. If the tube is straight, it means it's not bended, it's not twisted, so it's something like that. Then it is just an elementary exercise to check that the spectrum is absolutely continuous. It is given by this interval E1 infinity, where E1 it is the first eigenvalue in the cross-section omega. Very basic. And now we have this theorem, which is which is natural to expect. Now, if the bending vanishes at infinity and the twisting vanishes at infinity, then the essential spectrum is preserved. This is very natural, because if you look at this operator, this is a Laplace-Beltrami operator, and you can see that the metric at infinity under those conditions converges to the identity metric. So this is natural to expect, but it is interesting that to use the standard tools of spectral theory, it's not easy to establish this result, because it is straightforward to use this Weyl criterion to prove such a result, but the Weyl criterion is established for operators, and here I can prove such a result for using the classical Weyl's criterion, but then I have to impose some additional conditions on derivatives of curvature and torsion. And so this is something I think is not natural. And so this is the novelty, in fact, that we can adapt the Weyl's criterion in such a way that we can obtain this result without differentiating the curvature. Just very briefly, history for this result. Okay, so as I said, initially these tubes were considered in three dimensions by physicists in 1992. This result is obtained there. Well, this is trivial. If the bending is of compact support, the tube wasn't twisted. It had only circular cross-section. Then there was this famous paper, review paper, where they obtained this result, as I said, under some additional conditions about differentiating curvature. And well, then I would like to point out here this paper by Dermenjian, Durand, Iftimi. This is a completely different field of, they consider multi-stratified cylinders, but they have in their paper this generalized Weyl's criterion. And I think this might be also useful to the spectral theoretical community. I think this criterion is not well known. Okay, so then we were inspired by this paper, and in the paper about bending, and where there was no twisting, we proved this theorem for arbitrary cross section. Okay, so this is the essential spectrum. It's the same as in the straight tube. And now the question I would like to address here, it is to ask whether we can have some other spectrum. For example, eigenvalues below the essential spectrum. And this is exactly what, as I said, has been known for almost 20 years. It is the effect of bending. Namely, if the curve is bent, but it's not twisted, so it rotates, the cross-section rotates in this special way, then there is always some spectrum below the essential spectrum. And this is true just under these two conditions. And I'm not going to do real proofs here, but the proof is in fact elementary. It is low-tech, as you would say. So it's just using a trial function based on the eigenfunction on the cross-section, which corresponds to the threshold of the essential spectrum. This was presented in a nice way by Leonid Parnovsky this afternoon. So this is just variational argument, not difficult. But the result is interesting, because it follows immediately that if we assume in addition that the curvature vanishes at infinity, then we know that the essential spectrum is this interval. And this result tells us that there are discrete eigenvalues. And these discrete eigenvalues, they correspond to quantum bound states. And of course, this is something physicists don't like, because this corresponds to stationary solutions of the Schrödinger equations. So if you have a waveguide, and now, it basically means that if you send an electron, then it can be trapped in the waveguide. So this
you should say physicists also like this. You should also like it because your living is based on this, that there are bound states in nature.
I like it. I also live on it. Well, okay, so, but it basically means that bending acts as an attractive interaction. And this is a very interesting result. This is also notice that this is a purely quantum result. In classical tubes, if you consider classical transport, you don't have these bound states. Okay, some history. So for three-dimensional tubes, this was obtained by these physicists in 1992. Under these conditions where kappa was compact, omega was circular. Then again, this review paper by Duclos-Exner under additional conditions on the derivatives of curvature. And then the main message of this paper, we generalized the result to arbitrary dimensions. And what was, I think, more important, it was to consider omega arbitrary. But I stress again, no twisting. And this paper, this is 2 years, and...
Can I make an additional remark? A theory does not become a quantum theory only by putting an h-bar squared in front of the Laplacian. I mean, you can discuss the Laplacian without the h-bar squared in front, and then you also have classical physics.
this is wave physics.
Well, also, okay, yes, right. And in fact, these bound states were observed, were experimentally demonstrated in electromagnetic waveguides.
Yeah.
In two dimensions. So, okay, but so, but if you put H and you take the semi-classical limit, then...
I mean, if you do electrodynamics and so on, you also encounter the Laplacian and Maxwell equation do not know H bar. Right?
Yes. Okay, so but okay, I consider this as something well known to this community. Just I wanted to recall the result. But now I would like to go to something more interesting, and it is the effect of twisting. So here we have this collaboration with Egholm and Kovařík, and so this is this recent paper. Well, it took some time to get it accepted. And the result is basically as follows. So let me assume that the tube is not bent, just for simplicity to see the effect of twisting. So I assume that, okay, then curvature is equal to zero, torsion is equal to zero, and I assume that the tube is twisted in the sense that this that the angle is not constant, that it rotates along the straight line. The curve is just the straight line in this case. And I assume that the cross section is not circular, so that it's exactly that the tube is twisted.
When you said not circular, it's with the center at the, on the line. If it's circular,
yes, inside. Yes, exactly. It's either it's not rotationally symmetric, or even if it is rotationally symmetric, the center is not at the origin. Okay, I need some technical conditions, which I think are not important. And okay, so our result is that we have this type of inequality for the Laplacian. So I take my Hamiltonian, I subtract the energy of the threshold of the essential spectrum, and I found that there is some strictly positive function. That this operator is bounded from below by a strictly positive function. This C, it is a positive constant, which depends on S0, where S0 it is a point on which the twist is, it is one point of the support of the angle theta dot. And it depends on S0, on some properties of this function, for example, on its support, and on the geometry of the cross section. And okay, so it's also here notice that it goes to zero quadratically at infinity. Of course, it has to go to zero, because we know that under these conditions, the essential spectrum is E1 infinity, so you cannot go above E1.
What is gamma?
Gamma is the curve.
Yes.
It's the curve. So it goes to infinity under these conditions.
It's the line.
Yes, in this case, it's just the line. Yes, okay, so
minus
it's not...
S0 squared.
Exactly, yes. In this case, it was stupid to put gamma. But you have such a result also in the general case under some conditions. And this inequality, it is called Hardy inequality. It has been studied by many people, also from the audience. Unfortunately, some of them left. But we have here Professor Solomiak, so this is an example. And this inequality is very important, because well, firstly, you can translate this result as saying that twisting acts as a repulsive interaction, because you see that the spectrum is somehow pushes on the right above E1. But okay, so why is it important? It is important because it implies certain stability of the spectrum. It means that now if you have this Laplacian and you add some attractive perturbation, then you will not create you will not create bound states if the perturbation is sufficiently small. This is completely opposite to the previous result. For example, one of these attractive interactions, it is the bending. If you have a straight tube and you bend it, you always create eigenvalues below the essential spectrum. And now, if you have such a result, so you see that if you can, okay, we will see it, but for example, adding any negative interaction, the spectrum will be stabilized in some sense. I think I have also time to mention the idea of the proof. I will not do the proof. It's just to give you some idea. The proof is it's not high tech, but some in the middle. Okay, so I have the quadratic form of the Laplacian. So this H, it is just this Laplacian expressed in these curvilinear coordinates. And I think is called ground state decomposition. I take a test function from the dense subspace of the domain of the quadratic form, and I write this test function as J1 times the rest. So this is in fact definition of phi. And J1, I recall, it is the eigenfunction corresponding to the first eigenvalue in the cross section. Okay, so it is a positive function. I can do this. And I also introduced this differential operator. So this is T, I recall. These are coordinates in the cross-section. So these are derivatives in the cross-section with respect to T2, with respect to T3. So this is nothing else than the angular derivative in the cross-section. And now using the metric, which I calculated, you simply obtain this result. This is a straightforward calculation. Using this decomposition of this ground state decomposition, so you have a sum of four positive terms, and then you have some mixed terms which I will not write down. And okay, so what do we have here? Well, this is just the result. Here we have this angular derivative. And now, okay, so we would like to show that this is somehow positive. And if you look at these terms, so you can see that the danger comes from the situation when phi is constant. Because if phi is constant, these terms disappear. Also, this term disappears. But we will end up with this term, which is if phi is constant, so this is something constant. And we will have here theta dot, which is by assumption not identically equal to zero. And we have here the angular derivative of J1. And J1, it is the first eigenfunction in the cross-section. And if omega is not circular, then this derivative is not identically equal to zero. So we have something, some positive contribution. But of course, this is just the idea. The main problem is to extract the idea from this quadratic form. And technically, the most complicated thing it is to deal with these mixed terms.
So why this sigma of G1 is non-zero?
Because if omega, this is the eigenfunction, the first eigenfunction in the cross-section, and if omega is not circular, then the eigenfunction is not rotationally symmetric. And this operator, it is angular derivative operator.
Okay,
so this is the idea of the proof. And so this is the effect of twisting. It is quite opposite. It is repulsive. Bending is attractive. Twisting is repulsive. And now you can ask the question, what's okay? Now you can play. You can play with twisting. You can play with bending. And well, in some sense, it is sharp if under these conditions. If it is compactly twisted, then it is sharp because at some point we are using the classical hard inequality, which is sharp and it has quadratic decay at infinity. But this is something we didn't realize when making the preprint. I think in the published version it is already precised that in fact these conditions are technical. So if we assume that the twisting goes very slowly to zero at infinity, it has to go to zero because of the essential spectrum, but it can go arbitrarily slowly. So then if this slowness is is better than the quadratic decay, then we can get a better result. It depends on this theta, on the behavior of theta dot. But under these conditions, it is optimal, sharp. Okay, so now you can play. We are coming to the title of my talk. So now let me assume that the tube, this theorem, it is about a twisted tube, which is mildly curved. So it is twisted, some technical conditions. This is twisted. Okay, also some technical condition about curvature, about bending. And then the result is that, this is some mathematical statement, but it basically means that if the bending is mild, then the spectrum is just U1 infinity. It is just the essential spectrum. There are no eigenvalues below the essential spectrum. So this is something you can expect. This is an immediate corollary of the previous theorem. Just putting some attractive interaction which is of geometrical origin. But you can add even a potential interaction what you want. This hard inequality is a more general result. Small remark. So it's surprising that this twisting, as I said, has been overlooked for, say, more than 10 years, 15 years. But then when we started to be interested in it, there appeared at least two papers which were related. And in some sense, they also observed a similar result. So there is a paper by Grushin who obtained, not exactly in this way, but he also studied mildly curved tubes. But the existence of hard inequality we proved. This is, as I said, a more general result with other applications. But now, what I would like to mention, it is the graph model, because there has appeared also a paper by Bushite, Maškareňáš, and Trebušu. They considered a twisted tube, twisted and bent tube, finite, bounded. But this is not important. I believe that the result is true in general. So they took this omega epsilon. It is their twisted tube, but they consider that the cross section shrinks to zero. So that's why I here have epsilon times omega, and the interval is bounded. So this is the graph. I is the graph, one dimensional, and they have this nice result.
But in which sense?
This result?
Yes.
This is in gamma convergence sense. But I'm pretty sure that it can, if it was me proving this, I would prove it in the norm resolvent sense. I will comment on it in a moment. So they have, taking this limit, the spectrum of the Laplacian explodes. But if you can subtract this energy, which also explodes, and in the limit, you get an operator on the graph, on I, simply. And so you have just the Laplacian second derivative operator on the graph, but plus some effective potential, which depends on curvature and on the torsion. And it is very nice, because here you can see the attractive interaction due to curvature, and here you can see the repulsive interaction due to torsion. So this is very enlightening result for twisted and bent tubes. And in fact, for bent tubes, this result is known for many years. It comes back to the paper of Exner and Sheba, say, even before it was known to physicists or chemists. But this term, it is much harder to obtain, and they succeeded by using this gamma convergence. And, look at it as on a result which holds in the norm resolvent sense.
Can you make that those two terms can cancel out?
Sorry?
You have two terms, one for bending, one for twisting. Can you make that?
Yes.
Those two.
You can cancel out. Just to choose kappa in such a way that these two terms cancel.
Is C of omega explicit?
No, it is.
It's related to the same derivative as before. Or?
It is related to some. It is a minimum of a functional. On the cross section, defined on the cross section, and it is also related to the Well, I don't remember the formula, but this is in fact related to this angular derivative of J and some integral.
Yeah, but from the physical point of view, it would simply mean that this is the global situation and you don't have the local eigenvalues. That you bend something, then you have the trap mode here, and then twist, and you have also something. But from that point of view, it would look like the global, really.
Yes, but notice that if you want to kill up the eigenvalues below the essential spectrum, you don't have to necessarily to choose these functions equal, of course. You just, for example, if this is small, it's just a potential 1D Schrödinger operator. So if this part is small and this is sufficiently large, then you will not have eigenvalues below E1. And, of course, this C is positive if and only if the tube is twisted. So this is a very nice result. Well, okay, so I have to converge to the end. Okay, so this is the main result about twisting, but this is for three-dimensional tubes. Now you can ask what we can do in two dimensions. In two dimensions, of course, so you have a curved strip, and you don't have any twist. But what you can do, you can cheat. And this is what I have done. You can consider a twisted strip, two-dimensional strip, but in three dimensions, embedded in three dimensions. So formally, it is obtained by this limit, but okay, you can consider it rigorously. And then, so this is another paper which I wasn't mentioning. This is just some sort of extension of the result in three dimensions. So in two dimensions, you can get this theorem. Again, there is no bending, so this is something like that. Because it is twisted, it's strictly positive, some technical condition here. And again, we have some sort of Hardy inequality. And
here you are dealing with two-dimensional Laplace.
Yes. Uh-huh. It is in fact Laplace-Beltrami because it is on a surface. And okay. And this is a partial answer to the comment of Professor Schrader. Who asked this question to Leonid Parnovsky during his talk, whether we can have such results on surfaces, on the sphere, for example. So this is in fact, this is the result. Well, this is very special, the existence of Hardy inequality. But the result is interesting from the sense that I had a previous paper where I proved the existence of bound states of eigenvalues below the essential spectrum if the strip was embedded in a abstract surface, any surface, two-dimensional surface. And now, depending on the sign of the curvature of the surface, you either have eigenvalues or not. And, well, to prove the non-existence of eigenvalues, it is much harder, and this follows from the existence of the Hardy inequality. So you can look, this is a ruled surface. It has always non-positive curvature. So you can say that this result means that the negative curvature of the ambient space, which is the ruled surface, acts in some sense as a repulsive interaction. And if the surface is of positive curvature, I have the result that you have eigenvalues below the essential spectrum, so it is some sort of attractive interaction. But okay, now you can ask, but we would like to stay in two dimensions. We don't want to cheat in this way. So then you can cheat in a different way. So So you have a straight strip, two-dimensional strip in the plane, and now you introduce some sort of singular twist by means of boundary conditions. So it's clear. So initially you have some Dirichlet-Neumann waveguide. Now you switch the boundary conditions at one point. So this is some sort of singular twist. And there is a recent collaboration with Hinekovaří where we showed that also in this case there is a Hardy inequality, which has this simple form. This constant depends only on the width of the strip.
So now you are working on the rectangle, on the infinite rectangle.
Yes, infinite rectangle.
So the Laplacian is two-dimensional Laplacian.
Two-dimensional. Just the Laplacian, no Laplace-Beltrami.
Do this periodically? Or
No. It's twisted just in one point.
Only once?
Only one point. But this one point is enough to produce this repulsive sort of repulsive interaction. And it is important because now, again, you know that if you add some small attractive interaction to the operator, you will not create eigenvalues below E1. Because if the interaction is sufficiently small, smaller than this decay at this decay function. So again, it has consequences for the stability of the spectrum.
But if it's very constant.
So how many minutes do I still have?
Five.
Perfect. So.
So E1 is the same you will have without twisting.
E1, it is yes, it's the same, because it is just the eigenvalue in the cross section, the first one. And this is exactly the energy which determines the threshold of the essential spectrum. So, and the essential spectrum is determined only by the behavior at infinity. So it's just this E1 infinity is always the essential spectrum in the twisted or non-twisted case. So I still have time, so it's good, so I can finish. So this is the moral. This is the message of my talk. So this is something you should remember, I think. And the message is that bending acts as an attractive interaction while twisting acts as a repulsive interaction. In the sense that in a bent tube, you have eigenvalues below the essential spectrum. Spectrum is shifted to the left. And here, the spectrum is not changed. But you have more. You have some sort of repulsive interaction because of the existence of Hardy inequality. And now, some open problems. So, of course, higher dimensional generalizations. You can consider this tube in higher dimensions. Then, if the rotations are properly chosen, again, you have Hardy inequalities. It's not so interesting, but you can also consider a layer problem, shell problem. So you can consider a tubular neighborhood of some general cross section about a surface, about a general Riemannian manifold. And now, as we have seen, what is important, it is not the dimension, but it is codimension. There is one point here to which I would like to mention in some more details. Because the result here, it is, I think it is nice, but it's just about the discrete spectrum. But I think for the transport, it would be interesting to know what's the effect of twisting on the essential spectrum. And so since I still have a little bit of time, I would like to go into some more details. And I propose here one way in which maybe one could analyze this problem. Because the study of essential spectrum of embedded eigenvalues or resonances, it is much harder. And so there is one way I suggest. Maybe it will not work, but maybe it might be some work to study. And for this, I would like to recall my collaboration with Rafael Tiedra, where we considered bent tubes, not twisted, but bent, and we developed the Moore theory, the theory of conjugate operators, to show that, to state some properties about the essential spectrum, about embedded eigenvalues, etc., for tubes. But the main mathematical result in that paper is that this dilation operator is strictly conjugate in the Moore sense to our Hamiltonian. And this exactly on the real line, except for the thresholds. These are eigenvalues of the transfers on the cross section. So this is the Moore estimate, and such a Moore estimate, it has important consequences to spectral properties. For example, as a corollary, one immediately has that eigenvalues of the Laplacian are countable and can accumulate only at the thresholds. So this is not a deep, it's not a big result. But at least you can say something about the essential spectrum. And this also implies that the singular continuous spectrum is empty. And this is high tech, I would say. This is very technical. and quite complicated, this Moore theory. Maybe, okay, you can say that it doesn't give a big result, but it gives something at least. And now, the problem is that, okay, these eigenvalues can, in principle, you can have embedded eigenvalues, and they can accumulate at an infinite number of points. So this is not good. And the reason why you have to include this threshold, it is that, okay, you would like to show that this commutator is positive in some sense. These p's are projections, spectral projections of H. But if you calculate the commutator, you find that this is twice the longitudinal Laplacian. And so it is clear from this result that these functions are bad for the result. If you put these functions, if you sandwich this this operator by these functions, you take the integral, then you will get zero. You will not get this positivity result. So that's why you have the result only outside the thresholds. But now if the tube is twisted, well, this is for the straight tube for simplicity. And now if the tube is twisted and you implement these bad functions, so you find something strictly positive just because of the twisting. So I think this is my conjecture. I think that probably one could try to develop this Moore theory for twisted tubes to deduce something, some stronger result. That my conjecture is that maybe it could be possible to show that they can accumulate only at the origin. Okay, so let me finish just by this other physical motivations. So in this talk, in our papers, we demonstrated the effect of twisting on some very simple model, quantum waveguides. But because of the other extensions I was mentioning, I believe that the result is much more robust. I believe that this is a more general result. For example, I believe that this effect of twisting could be observed also in other physical systems. For example, Leonid Parnovsky, I think they have this nice model about the shelf waves on the coast. So, for example, I think it would be interesting to look at this model. If you have a coast twisted coast, so I think that you see what I mean. Of course, this is just an idealization, but I believe that you will observe something, some stabilization or something like I observe here. Or more generally, for example, and I really believe into this, is that if you take, in fluid mechanics, you take a twisted water pipe. So I believe that if you really use a twisted pipe, then you can ameliorate something. I don't know exactly what, because the equations are difficult, but I think it would be worth to look at these problems in some other physical models. Thank you for your.
Soviet Union always used twisted pipes.
And bent as well.
At least they make things worse.
Bent, but twisted, I doubt. But anyway, thank you for your attention.
Questions? Do you have any examples when you have non-trivial twisting and embedded eigenvalues?
No. But my conjecture is that if you twist the waveguide, then if there were embedded eigenvalues, then by twisting they will become resonances or something like that. But this is, I don't have any, well, this is just from the observation of this repulsive effect of twisting, but I don't have any.
It is repulsive from the bottom of the spectrum. I
mean. Yes. Unfortunately, we can use the Hardy inequality only for the bottom of the spectrum, but I believe that the twisting has also such some more general implications.
Well, I just make a comment on this. I think in one of the books of Reed Simon, there's an example of a long-range potential with an embedded, where you have an embedded eigenvalue. You sort of say, and this could be also modeled, because I once wrote an article on a where you have R3, but with a metric which is asymptotically Euclidean, but very slowly Euclidean. And there we could also prove the existence of an embedded plane value. So what you have to do is you have to some sort of get some very long oscillations on the deviations from flatness of the metric.
No. I believe that this will be true if we have some this slowly decaying bending, but if it even if it is slowly decaying twisting, I think that twisting has the opposite.
I see. I see.
But of course I don't. Sorry.
Suppose that you have infinite tube, otherwise perfect, but you twist it periodically. Can you say what the effect will it have on the dispersion relation?
Dispersion relations. Yes. This I cannot, but you can look at the paper of Kovařík, Exner. I think it's 2006 in JPA, Journal of Physics A, and they consider this periodically twisted tube with some local perturbation. And the idea is, it is some global twisting, in my language.
What do you mean global
twisting? I mean that it's twisted also at infinity. It's not local. So it is periodically twisted, so global, and what you observe is that even the essential spectrum goes up, which is something you could expect, I think. So the essential here the essential spectrum starts by E1 infinity, and if it is periodically twisted, it goes up. It starts above E1, and then you can have bands.
Is this all you can say about that it just moves up, or there is some more detailed information about?
No.
Is there any apparatus to compute the dispersion relations, Eigen modes, things like that?
No, in fact, the only result that they have is that if it is periodically twisted, and now you slow down at some point, and then you speed up again, then you will create discrete eigenvalues below the essential spectrum. You will create discrete eigenvalues below the essential spectrum.
You mean periodic?
It is okay. Imagine that it is periodic, and then you introduce some local deformation.
Oh, yeah, local.
And this local deformation is that it is that you slow down this twisting procedure.
There were previous papers by Exner and Yoshitomi about periodically bent tubes, and they showed that you can create gaps below this E1 level.
Exactly.
Those eigenvalues, they spread into thin zones. And you can, but it's kind of simple consequence of this effect. Other questions, comments? I have a comment that, as always, Russians knew this first. I tell you, when I heard the first time about this result, it was more than 40 years ago. I was in high school. When we were dancing, our vice principal always told us that twisting was repulsive. We didn't believe her, but now we have rigorous rules. I'm not sure even use that word moral. I think she knew it.
And bending?
I don't discuss it. Okay, let's thank speaker for the wonderful last lecture. I wanted, first of all, to thank all of you for participation. It was, I believe, a very instructive workshop, at least for me, and I hope for others. And it was due to you and due to Pavel's organization. Unfortunately, he is not here to congratulate him. And just a couple of final remarks. Don't forget this evaluation form, please, and keep in mind that eventually at the end of the program you will be contacted with information about publications we plan to have. We have so many wonderful people of all walks of sciences that we hope to have a really good volume of both survey and research articles. So, and thank you again.
Yeah, I have one.